Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. On today's show, I'm welcoming our co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello, here I am.
But we're also going to have my guest host join us today, Sharon Prosser.
Hello.
So, Catherine, would you like to share with how people can get in touch with us real quick?
Yes, please get in touch with us. On Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. You can email us. The address is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. And please check out our website. We have stuff going on, and we're excited to be seeing what other stuff is coming up. Anyway, the website is dunamoscenter.com. For all those, Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And real quick, too, you can always pick up a phone.
Remember those?
Yeah, if you have a smartphone, get to that keypad function in there somewhere. The number is 719-231-7183.
You made me just think they could even just put Dunamos Center Ministries in their search engine. Phone number will probably come up, and they just click call us.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's even easier if you can't remember what the phone number is.
Right.
So we would look forward to hearing you for anything. So last week we had our open house.
Yes, we did.
And as usual, the food was amazing. I'm sorry for anybody who missed that. Our speakers were incredible and very helpful, and people really took a lot out of it.
Yes.
And so we did do interviews with people as to what they were thought of some of the speakers and, our new facilities and things like that.
Yeah.
And Sharon, hopefully, is working diligently at putting together some clips. And we will be excited to present those as our show next week.
Yes, absolutely. So please join us and hear more about what's going on here at Dunamos Center Ministries. So today is our Father's Day show. And this is just going to be very different than probably what most people would expect.
Yeah.
We called the show Identity in Our Father.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that I think it's going to be different is because there are a lot of people who had amazing daddies. And I'm so happy for them. And I love that they can say, my dad was there for me. He was a good dad. He was a nice dad. And Catherine, that's kind of your take on life with your dad.
So yes. My earthly dad, I felt was wonderful. He's, he did, there was, a period of my childhood where he was gone and he was working on his PhD. So he wasn't always able to be with my mom and I when we would do things. But for the most part, I really felt like he was around. He supported us. He took care of us. Even now, as a grown adult, he is frequently there for me. We do things together.
And I've met your dad, and he's a very nice person, and he's very sweet and very supportive of you and your family.
Right. And I, as an earthly dad, I love him to pieces. I don't have any major issues.
Exactly. But yet, then there's Sharon and I, who avoid Facebook and church on Father's Day.
Okay.
And I don't like to see the post because it reminds me again, we did a show a few weeks ago on you can't have what you didn't have. And we've both accepted that.
Yes.
But there are just moments, it feels like the scabs or the scars are being picked a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to say it's okay to be where you are with your life story.
Right.
It doesn't make you a bad person if you can't go to church on Father's Day because your wounds or your scars are still too tender.
So you're saying sometimes at church or on Facebook, when other people talk about how amazing their earthly dad was, it can be difficult for you.
It can be difficult. And one of the things that I find actually the most difficult is when everybody's talking about their amazing dad in heaven that they're going to go see one day.
Okay.
And I don't even know if my dad's in heaven or not. I mean, I really don't. I mean, it's one of those things where one day when I get to heaven, he's either going to be there and then I'll be rejoicing with the angels, or he's not going to be there and Jesus promises that he wipes away every tear in heaven.
Right.
And so I don't like cry over it on earth. But when I see those posts, I realize there's still a little bit of a tug there.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of a loss or something missing out.
Right.
And, you know, Sharon, you have some of the same responses, maybe even stronger than I do sometimes.
Well, sometimes it's more of, it's just not fair.
Yes, it can feel that way.
Yeah.
And then whoever said life was fair, which
doesn't help. Yeah, exactly.
Really.
Exactly. But it's just those rare moments of, you had this wonderful dad that did all this great stuff and
pictures
of the dad and the children out playing, doing something special. And it's like, that's not
wasn't your experience.
No.
And so... My experience was that as a small girl, until I was about 10 or 11, I had a really amazing daddy. So you can pull those family photo albums out, and you're going to see my dad doing all the things with the little kids. And we went camping, and every weekend we all worked together in the yard. And, you know, he was there. And I absolutely adored my dad. And I was the youngest of six. And out of that, I was the one who probably would be like daddy's little girl, okay? And he doted on me.
Aww.
And then he took it all away.
Yeah.
So he left. He didn't think, you know, last week we had done the show on choices and consequences, and he didn't think about the consequence on the hearts of his children at all.
Right.
And it was devastating.
Okay.
To me. So, Catherine, you and I had talked a little bit about how family gives us identity and
right.
our name.
Yeah.
And there, you know, and the Bible even talks about a good name is worth more than gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so my maiden name was Levings, and I just had identity. I belonged to that tribe. Like I said, there were six of us.
Yeah.
And if you said, who are you? I probably would have said Levings.
Yeah.
And it would have meant something.
Right. There's an identity that we develop somehow. I can't even pinpoint
right
how that develops, but it's there. And for me, I felt that strong identity too. I grew up as an only child, you know, just me and my mom and dad. But we had, you know, strong ties with my extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins, and we would always get together for Christmas and Thanksgiving and camping. And anyway, so there was an identity there with that name. My maiden name was Sievert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that was there. And then when I got married, and I knew that I was going to change my name, and I didn't have a problem with, you know, I wanted to take my husband's name, but at the exact same time, I felt like there was a splitting or a leaving from my family name that I had known and had for 22 years. And there was a shift in identity.
And it's interesting that you talked about the extended family, because we did not have extended a family around. So really, my nuclear family was it.
Uh-huh.
That was our identity. That was our connection. So when my dad left and the family fell apart, the entire concept of identity fell apart as far as connection. I know my extended family. We visited as children on both sides of the family, but we were not living in the bosom of it. So there was no continued identity or connection, as you're saying, which could have been very helpful in a process like that if the extended family had sort of been there to rally. So I lost all of that identity. And it's funny that you said you had trouble when you got married. And yet to me, it was an opportunity to regain a connection.
When
and
you
identity.
Got married.
Yeah. So to change my name to Dillard when I got married was not immediate, because I wasn't born again. I actually had a hyphenated name for a very long time.
Oh.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that. And then when I grew in my connection to Jesus and I started to see order and authority and God's order and authority,
I felt like it was very honoring to my husband, and it brought a stronger connection of identity with him for me to just drop the hyphenation and to just go by Dillard.
Yeah.
And it really has been very powerful to see how that connection has happened. But then Sharon had a completely different experience from both of us.
Right.
And so, Sharon, would you like to...
Yeah, I didn't... I sit and listen to you two talk about identity, and I didn't have identity.
Right.
There was none, either as a child or after I got married. There was never any, this is where I belong, this is my identity, this is...
Right.
There never was any of that. So I can't relate to that thought.
So to translate that into a spiritual aspect of identity in Christ,
It's a huge issue.
Yeah, I don't struggle with it like I used to, but when people would talk about God as Father, it just brought up all sorts of things like, why would I want to be associated with that?
Right.
You know, why?
Well, and just to help frame a little bit, Sharon, it's because that structure for you was dangerous.
Yes.
And so was your marriage.
Oh, yes.
And so to say God is Father is to bring up all kinds of dangerous images.
Yes.
Or concepts or feelings. And then the church says, well, you're supposed to trust him because he's your Heavenly Father. And I know for me, when people would say God is your Father, I would just get anxiety attacks just about, because to me, a father is somebody who would tell you that they loved you intensely, which the scripture says the father loves you intensely,
right?
But then one day will just throw you away like you're nothing,
leave and be gone.
So why would I want to trust that love, and then one day it was just going to be gone?
Well, yeah, you not only grow up with love is conditional. You
right.
marry, love is conditional.
Yes.
And so you think, okay, how is God any different? Because this is all I've ever known. Love is conditional.
Right.
So if I do something wrong, God's going to reject me.
Yeah, and for you, love also meant hurt, damage, physical damage, physical harm. For me, it meant very extreme emotional pain and very extreme emotional rejection, abandonment, those types of things. And so, you know, I joke about, and I get this in my office with clients a lot too, there was an old song, Jesus is Just All Right With Me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sort of feels like that sometimes, like Jesus is all right, but that Father thing, yeah, now you're pushing it.
So, did you find that as well, that it was easier to connect to the Jesus
part
rather than the Father?
Yes, because you think about it, Jesus came, he died on a cross for people,
mm-hmm.
for humanity, and so there was a demonstration of his love.
Yes.
You know, now it's harder when you attack the name Father onto that, to translate that to God. It's the same thing.
Right.
But you stick that name in there and it changes the whole perspective.
Sure. Right. And you know, it's interesting, you know, as Sharon's responding to that, because when I was born again, I had a very audible experience from Christ.
Okay.
And he said to me that, well, it was right before Easter. It was like what was called Maundy Thursday in the Methodist Church. And I was hearing the sermon about the cross and the meaning of the cross, as Sharon talked about, the visible, demonstrable love from Christ.
Mm.
And I heard Christ saying to me, I went to the cross for you. And it was so clear that I was looking for who was talking to me in the church, and nobody was speaking. When I realized that it was Jesus, I actually said to him, don't do it, I'm not worth it.
No.
And Jesus said to me, I have to, because you're my Father's daughter and he loves you. And yet I still took years of translating that into trust.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like here I had this moment where how could I have ever even doubted the Father when Jesus told me himself he
he was going to the cross because the Father loved me. So then I thought, like Sharon said, well, Jesus did this thing. He's all right.
Right.
But I also made a commitment that day. I will serve you for the rest of my days, even though I'm unworthy.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's really, that has been my life. I mean, those of you, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Right,
so,
right.
But it took a lot of time for me to get to trusting the Father piece, even after all that.
But you, I think, you know, it's good to point out that you chose to not give up, I think, you know,
yes,
on the idea that the Father could be there for you. You've walked through a journey.
Right.
And God the Father has proven himself to be faithful.
Right.
And not abandoning.
Right. He ever. Absolutely has. And Catherine, it started with the concept that the Bible says, come to me as a child.
Okay.
And I realized, well, I started actually asking God, could you show me what it would look like if I came to you as a child? If you're my Father and I'm your child, what does that look like? And it took a while of just persistently saying, I want to know that. I want to understand that. But I'm afraid. You know, I mean, I was very honest with God about, you terrify me. The thought of a father loving mm-hmm. and letting go is very scary for me. But then your word says,
mm-hmm.
So if we can come back to making a choice,
yeah.
Again, I mean, we just can't get away from choices and consequences, can we?
Yeah.
But I had to make a choice to say, if this Bible is the Word of God,
yes,
if I believe that, and it says to me, come to me as a child, I'm your Father, then I need to actively pursue that
mm-hmm.
as a real thing. Well, it took time. I'm not saying this happened quickly, but it took time to where the Lord helped me to see that this little tiny little girl,
mm-hmm.
this little toddler girl, with her little blonde ringlets, because that's what I had all the time, could actually go into the throne room. I mean, I remember having this vision of this little girl kind of peeking around a doorway, and here's this mighty Father of the universe sitting on his throne, and I'm just peeking around the doorway, and you know what? He knows us, he loves us, he sees us. And the God on the throne looked right at me, and he said, come, child, come. And
aww,
he said it so gently and so softly. So in this vision the Lord gave me, when I got there, he just picked me up and held me. And you know what? Father God plays with his children. I mean, you know, how do you play with your toddlers? You know, there's peekaboo, there's hand, you know, clapping games. He went through all of that with me to let me know I was safe.
And sometimes there is just sitting quietly and holding.
Oh, my God. I fell asleep on his shoulder. I can't tell you how many times,
right?
You know, because God's my Father.
Yeah.
And a father holds his child, and
mm-hmm.
he comforts her. And mm-hmm. then I would come to him angry and crying, and he would always just pick me up. There, it's okay. And as soon as I would calm down, then he'd help me with, this is how you need to handle that.
Yeah.
And then I got to the point, I remember asking him in one of these moments, why do you always make me do all these things you don't make anybody else do? I'm talking to my Father, this. I'm talking to Father God like this.
It
I want you to know.
Teenagerish.
Yeah. So we do grow up. We do grow through stages. And he looked at me and he said, because you will. He goes, oh, you're going to come in here and you're going to whine and you're going to cry and you're going to tell me all the bad things that are going on. But once you get that out of your system, you will do what I ask you to do.
Yeah.
So that's what a father does too. He comforts and he holds. But it took a long time. I was probably born again at 10 years or so when I was able to get to that point of saying, if he's my Father in heaven and Jesus went to the cross because my Father loves me, then I better start approaching this.
Right.
And it was scary. Oh, my gosh. I thought, what if I peek around that corner and he goes, get out of here. I don't let children in here. You know?
Or just totally ignores you.
Or ignores that you're even there, which could have happened because I've had it happen with my earthly father.
Yeah.
I've had him walk away. I had him not take my calls. I've had him want me to just not be real, you know,
yeah,
so that it could be okay for him,
yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a different process. And I think, Sharon, you know, like we said, it doesn't happen overnight, and you're in it.
Yeah.
But you've come a long ways. Like I was saying, it's a progressive growth in who the Father is to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's tough. One scripture that I wanted to be sure and mention on this topic, because as you were mentioning, you know, there's the song that says Jesus is just all right. In John 14, verse 9, mm-hmm. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?"
Yeah.
So
powerful.
Yeah. So that's where, you know, maybe if people struggle with the concept of God the Father, then it's, you know, it's okay to say Jesus is all right and start there. And I
yes.
think you've mentioned that you've led people in the imagery of Jesus walking with a person.
Right. It's really interesting because you mentioned, you know, I do this imagery prayer with people in the counseling, and they'll be connected to Jesus, and I will tell them to ask Jesus, "If I go meet your Father, what will he do to me, or what will he do with me?"
Yeah.
And Jesus talked about how loving his Father was in Scripture. He talked to me personally about it. And he will always say, he's going to love you, he's going to receive you. And sometimes we have to ask, will you go with me and introduce me?
Hmm.
Because they're so afraid by themselves. And the Lord is always happy to walk them into the throne room, happy to, you know, introduce them to the Father part of himself, for them to be able to. And it's really fun because as they're doing this process, they always report how they get younger, 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 younger as they get to the doorway of the Father till they're just this little child going in to sit on their daddy's lap.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting process. But Catherine, you also said because sometimes, you know, you have a good dad and then people say God's your Father, it creates a different issue for that process.
Yeah. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I felt like I had a pretty good earthly dad. But, you know, he wasn't perfect.
Right.
You know, and so to translate, you know, between having a good dad and then having a heavenly Father.
Right.
It was actually, you know, there is still a challenge there of going, okay, so my dad's not perfect. But, you know, so then who is this heavenly God and what are his characteristics?
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure that he's good, but how and what does that look like?
Right.
And one characteristic in particular that is a personal struggle of mine is the idea of unconditional love. And it's funny because I never felt like love was conditional with my earthly dad. But for some reason, it's still a struggle with my heavenly Father Dr. Pauline and I have talked about how we grew up Catholic, and so maybe there's a Catholic issue there of having to do
things right, yeah, to be acceptable and performance and things
maybe
like that.
Maybe that is part of
right.
what developed that
right.
in me. It wasn't from my earthly Father, but, you know, I still struggle with, my heavenly Father loves me no matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
And that's
a hard concept.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And so even, you know, even with a good earthly Father, there is still challenges of, you know, transitioning into what my heavenly Father is like and what his characteristics are and how I can respond to him.
Right. And then our worth to him is hard sometimes to understand our worth and our value, because, you know, it's funny, you know, we go to Ephesians 5 a lot for marriage, but it also talks about parenting in there. And in 6:4, it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So if you're been abused by your dad, whether it's sexual, physical, it creates an angry heart.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So if you have a father who's abusive and berating you and abusing you, you don't end up built up, you end up smashed down. So just the opposite happens.
Right.
And then you have this difficulty of your worth and value, right, Sharon?
Well, yeah, you weren't worth anything to your earthly father or to the man you were married, so why would you be worth anything to God?
Right.
And then sometimes you even get a little mad at God. It's like, well, you expect me to embrace this father thing when I have no concept what that even looks like.
I know. And it's like I said, you can have the no example at all.
Right.
To somebody like me where it flipped in the middle.
Yep.
To Catherine, who had a good dad. And yet all of us can kind of struggle with that concept to a degree, can't we?
Yeah. It's amazing, you know. Three totally different perspectives and experiences, and it's
we all have to find a way to grow into it.
Right.
And I do want to say before we finish today, if you had a really great dad who taught you about the Heavenly Father, I don't want anybody to feel bad about having to talk about it in front of people who've been damaged. There's often this, don't you know that it hurts me when you say how great your dad is because I had such a bad dad. Well, those of us who had the bad dads, we also have to accept that that was their life and their experience, and nobody's trying to intentionally pour salt in my wound or make me feel worse. They only have the experience they had. So we need to accept each other on both sides of the road.
Yeah.
We need to have some sensitivity to the fact that if they had a great dad and they enjoyed their dad, that's their experience, and they have every right to share that with me as a sister in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm thinking more highly of other people than myself, then I want to honor and respect that out of them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but we can get so caught up in our pain sometimes, Sharon, can't we? That we're like, why are they even telling me that? You know, how don't they know that they're making me feel worse?
Yeah.
And no, they don't know.
No, they don't.
They don't know they're making me feel worse. And it's not their responsibility necessarily to know that.
Right.
Because that's all they have. Now, if you had a great dad and you know somebody had a really bad dad, you know, again, if you want to care for that friend, you should. And if the Lord has made you aware of it, there should be some sensitivity to that.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be difficult for them. And if they don't come to church on Father's Day, that's okay. We don't have to force them past that stuck place. You know, let the, you know, Lord help them with that. And like all of us have said, so what are the characteristics of the Heavenly Father? If my dad was really good at teaching me that, then I can teach that to the person who doesn't know.
Yes.
Sharon, you said I had no clue where to start.
Right. Yeah. No,
well,
I didn't.
Somebody could have said, well, this is what your dad should have taught you about Heavenly Father. It would have given you a place to start.
It would have.
I'm sure it would have needed to have been done in love.
Oh, yeah, very gently. But right? What we tend to do in the church is, well, you just need to accept that God's your father, and then you'll be fine with that. There's sort of this, you know, attitude of if you were a really good Christian, you would just get it.
Yes. and all that does is add more guilt.
Yes.
And make it harder down the road to get to that point.
Right. It makes it unsafe for you to talk about it and say, you know, to get to a point to say to somebody, you know, maybe you can tell me more about this because I've been safe with you and you've accepted that my experience was my experience. You've helped me to apply scripture in a different way. Uh-huh. I might be ready for that.
Yeah.
So let's try to be gentle but loving.
Right.
Let's be more accepting that we're all coming from a different place. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shouldn't try to make you feel bad because you had a really good dad. I mean, but there was a time in my life when my heart would have been like, why did she get a good dad? No, I didn't get a good dad, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We do ask that question off and on. But at the same time, you can go back to our show on You Can't Have What You Didn't Have.
Right.
And then we've learned how to walk it out.
Yeah.
So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
Oh. And I'm Sharon.
Thanks for joining us, Sharon, and we'll talk with you again in a couple of weeks after our open house show.